Path control, yeah. So I'm going to be starting today's daf. We are on daf Lamed Amud Aleph by the two dafs. So we are. So the Mishnah has been talking about what foods we are allowed to use for the purposes of making eruv, because in order for somebody to be part of the eruv, they're supposed to contribute their portion of the food, and then by because of the shared food, everybody becomes one unit for the purposes of an Erevin. But this all it has prerequisite of the fact that you have proper walls surrounding you. So that's like the first. So again, the first parak dealt with the walls around a shared space. Second parak dealt with the walls around water sources. And now we're getting into the, okay, so now that we have our physical structures up, now we have physical structures up, so how do we make sure that we can all actually use this area? So we're using an Erev, and the medium that we're using is shared food is what we're using to make our Erev. So then the Mishnah continued after that, and it got to the point where it's in addition to saying hey, basically all foods work except for salt and water. And now we're explaining more examples where salt and water aren't considered to be food. So hanodrim min hamazon mutar b'mayim. So if you had sworn that you will not eat any nourishment, then for the same amount of time, so that even though you're not allowed to eat, food during that time period, you are allowed to still have salt and water. So that would why. So let's say somebody had. So now we're going to try to explain why. Salt and water don't count. So melach umayim hu delo ikrei mazon. Salt and water are called nourishment or food. Ha kol milei ikrei mazon. But everything else is called mazon, is called a food. Lema to have a tiyufta de Rav and Shmuel. So let's say that this is a refutation of Rav and Shmuel. Derav Ushmuel, the Amr Tervayu, Aim of Rah, Ray, Minim Zanot, El Al Hamashet, Haminin, Bilvad. So, this concept should be a refutation of Shrav and Shmuel. Let's say the only things that are considered to be Mazon for the purposes of saying the Bracha, Birkat HaMazon, thanking God for creating nourishment, is if something's created from the five grains. Wheat, barley, smelt, right? Right, notes. So then only if it was one of those would you be saying is a note, which implies that anything that's not one of these five grains isn't considered to be matzah. So below zimna. Wait, didn't we already refute this from another position already? Meha. We already said that that's wrong, that you can't simply say that the only thing that's considered to be food is the five grains. Because we've already said that's wrong elsewhere. Rather, what must we say? That here's all, this is another example of where other things can be considered to be mazon, even though you don't say the bracha over, even though they're not considered to be grains. So we're not questioning the question of the bracha here. We're simply stating that the bracha that Rav Shmuel Paskin, like it's also Shabbat Paskin as well, indicates something about the nature of the food, that the only thing that's called mazon is to say the bracha on it, but everything else would not work. So we're generalizing from the bracha to all foods. That if it's not, you can't say the bracha of mazon on it, therefore it's not mazon, it's not a food. So Amar Avuna, so. But so what's so what was the formulation of your swear? So but Omer kol hazan alai, he said all things that nourish is prohibited to me. So that's the language of the swear that he had made. And then umayim umelachud lo zaini hakol mile zaini, then he can't, that would mean that he's that salt and water, he's since they're not nourishing, he's allowed to eat them, but everything else that is nourishing he would not be allowed to eat.
Rabbi, just a quick, can we translate hazan to be sustain, or does it have to be nourished? Because that would change the whole pshat. Because water definitely sustains you, no?
Correct. as in, for instance, you can go for that without nourishment, you can only survive. Without water, you can survive for maximum of basically 3 days before it's lethal. Whereas without nourishment, you can survive for weeks for a couple of weeks. Again, not that it's healthier you should ever try it, but simply that's just the reality of how you can survive. So that's why. So that's why the translation is as it is. So just remember to say that. Because salt and water are things your body needs for it to function and for maintaining its homeostasis, so that way it works. But from the halakhic perspective, it's not considered to be something that's worthy of being called mazon, because it's simply not.
Yes, it doesn't have nutrients. Does it? I mean, I don't know how you distinguish it. It's not filling. It's necessary.
Right, because it's necessary for sustaining of life, just like air is. Just that it's not a food. So that's what. So maybe a better translation would be considered to be food instead of nourishment. But the issue is that also say one because it would be part of it. Also, is why it's hard to say if you use the word food. So hence something that nourishes as opposed to something that simply is sustains. So I like Joel's way of saying it. So salt and water, again, are necessary for your survival, but they're not considered to be nourishment for these purposes. Bahamar Rabba Babarkana Ki Hava Azilna Batre de Rabbi Yochanan Lemechal Peri Diginosar Ki Havina Beimea Vatina Lekolchad Vachad Asara Asara. So there were a question about what's considered food or not. So didn't Rabba Babarkana say, we're following Rabbi Yochanan to eat the fruits of Genosar, which are known to be really sweet fruits by the Kinneret. And we were a group of 100 people, and each and every person took 10 fruits. Kiyavana Bayasara. When we were 10 people, everybody took 100 fruits for himself. So, and each of these 100 fruits would not fit into a 3-sa' basket. Each 100 of these fruits would not fit into a 3-sa' basket, saying how large everything was. But on the other hand, But Rabbi Yehuda would normally eat all of them. V'amar shivuata delo ta'im li ziyuna. So then he would say, I swear I have not yet tasted something that nourishes. So basically he consumed a large amount of these sweet fruits Rabbi Yochanan said that they're not, that I have not actually been nourished from all of this. So, aim of mazona. Why is it saying ziyuna? You should have said the word mazona, because that's what we're debating about now, but mazona meaning nourishment. So, shouldn't he have said, I haven't had, so what does he mean by saying something that nourishes? Shouldn't he have meant sustaining food? Like, then which one is it? Why does he change the language from, why does he use ziyun, which is sustenance, as opposed to mazon, which is nourishment? So, which one is this? Amar of Huna Amarav Shavua Shalo Ochel Ki Karzu Ma'arvin Loba. Person, I swear that I shall not eat this loaf. One may establish an eruv with him despite that. Because the food is not meant to be eaten by an individual person. It's meant to be available. Not as it has to be eaten in the time frame. Kikarzu Alai, Ain
Ma'arvin. Rabbi, that's similar to the case of the Nazir who could use wine for an eruv?
Correct.
Okay.
The question is exactly how you forbade it on yourself. There's a question: if you forbade yourself from eating it, then that would allow you. Then that would be okay because you don't necessarily need to be able to have to eat the eruv in order for the eruv to be considered to be valid. But if you say kikar zo alai, which means that you are swearing off all benefit from it, then you can't use it for an marvin bloba. Then you can't use it for the eruv. Because the fact that you have the eruv is beneficial. So even though you're not eating it, you're still benefiting from it. So if you said in the language, when you swore, I'm not eating it, well, that's okay because you don't have to eat the Eruv, right? That's how nowadays, we have our Eruv set up, from Pesach to Pesach, and, nobody's eating it. It's just sitting there. If you're hungry, or let's say you happen to have run out of Lechem Mishnah, you can go get it. But you don't have to. There's no reason why you have to eat the Eruv. You're welcome to leave it, and that's fine. So, but this is because the requirement is that it's available, not that it has to be eaten per se. But if you say that you can't benefit from it at all, then you're benefiting from the ability to carry in place you couldn't normally, and therefore that would be a problem if you made that type of swear. So now we're going to have an objection to what we had before about the question of, this is a lot of halachot of shvuot and nedarim, about different types of swears and oaths. If it gets a little bit complicated, completely understandable, and let me know if anything sounds unclear. So meitvei hanodem in a kikar ma'arvin loba. If you vow not to benefit from the loaf, you're allowed to do an eruv. So when he said when he made the swear, what did he mean? My love to amar a lie. Did he say a lie? Which would be the formulation that we just had, kikar zeh lie, which means no good. He said no. The amar zu. No, he simply said I won't eat this loaf, which means not saying that he's swearing off hana. When he says another min kikar zu, it's not that he's saying no benefit. He's saying that I will not eat it. So based on you're saying a lie versus just saying the word zu is whether or not you're implying hana or just the fact you'll eat it, even though the word Achal is not listed here in the swear. So Hakanam Yistav Rodik Tani Sefer. This makes sense because of the latter half of the Braita. Ematai Bizman Shamar Shavua Shalo Atamenu. So this fits very well with the latter half of that same Braita, which says, when are you allowed to benefit from it and use it for the Eruv? When your swear was meant to be that I will not taste from it. So therefore, you're only forbidding yourself from the eating part of enjoying this loaf, but not from all benefit from this loaf. So aval amar alai mai. But what happens if you did say the word alai? So can't use it for your eruv? Hakinami dein lamagin loba. So we say here too, you can't do just like we had in the previous case of kikarzu alai. Ihaki adatani kikarzu hektesh ein marvin loba lafisha ein marvin hektesha. If so, then it should have been the same as when we taught another Brayta, that if you have a loaf and you say that this is hektesh, you can't use it for an Eruv. Because you can't make an Eruv out of things that are hektesh, that are already sanctified to the towards God, for the temple usage. So leaf log v'litne bedida. So why don't we argue and say this differently? Madvar Mamorim, what are we to what is that? When does this rule apply? The Amar Zu. So whenever you said Hare Zu, that's when you're allowed to or no der mizu, then that's when you're allowed to still use for an Eruv. Aval Amar Alai, but if you said the word Alai in your formulation, and Ma'arvin Loba, and say that if you said the word Alai in there, that's what indicates that you're forbidding yourself in all of the hana, and that's why you can't use Verneiruv. So Amar al Sarafu, not Elamai, Kolecha Damar Alai Marvin. So rather, would you rather say that wherever it says word Alai, you are allowed to do Verneiruv? Kasha Resha. Wait, so what you mean to say that if you say Alai, you're allowed to then? She's not trying to understand what the affirmation that isn't allowed is.
Why would he ask that question? I thought we just specifically said a lie you can't make an Eruv with.
Correct. It's because
so what's he where's he getting that from?
That's a good question. So it seems like he misheard.
Is the
answer. Because basically in the beginning of the full version of the Braita, it had said Harezu a lie, and then it finishes with the Braita with Hacham Enu. So since we have those two parts of it, so he's unclear. He's like, wait, so which one is it based on the previous one, the current one? So, Sophiasuri, Mathasuri, Healthy Tiny. No, this let's state the whole bright again together with all the parts to make sure that and to see and because it seems like we left something out. So right, the bright that we quote a ton of incomplete. What did it mean to need to be Healthy Tiny? This is how it should have been taught. Anodar mina kikar arvin loba. If you had sworn off and off if you had sworn off of the loaf, you can make an eruv. Afilo amar a lie. And even if you had said the word a lie, naasa to omer shvua shalotam enu. And why is it okay? Because we say that if you said the word no dirmina kikar, even if you said the word a lie, it's actually akin to saying Shvua shlotam enu. So that's what this brayta is stating. So this brayta is against the previous brayta. Here it's saying that even if you had the word a lie, all on your word hanozer min hakikar, if you say the word a lie, it means this formulation, it means that you won't eat it, not that you're swearing off al hana. So bikolakom kashel ravuna. Wait, this is against what ravuna stated. Because Rafuna had said that had we quoted earlier about the difference between a lie versus zoo. So who Dama Rabbi Eliezer? Rather, Rafuna holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Titania Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Shavua, Shalom, Ochel, Kikarzu. So first, Rabbi Eliezer says somebody swears that I will not eat this loaf. Ma'arvin Loba, you can make an air of. You can include him in the air of even if you use this loaf. Kikar zu a lie, but if you were to use the formulation of this loaf is upon me, forbid and is forbidden, then in ma'arvin loba, that's the case you can't do allow a person to be part of your eruv. So that's the situation. All right, so Rabbi Eliezer lined up with the Ravuna, as opposed to the other Brita, which does not. So Umi Amar Rabbi Lezer Achi. Wait. So when did Rabbi Lezer state this formulation? V'hatanya, didn't he state in another brayta? Zehaklal Adam. We have another klal that Zehaklal Adam Oser Al Atzmoba Ochel Arvin Loba. So Tanakam of the brayta says that if you had forbade yourself from food, you can still make an eruv with it. Ochel and Eser Lo La Adam. Ain Marvin Loba, but if this food is for the person says this food is forbidden unto this person, then he's not allowed to. He's not allowed to use it as part of the eruv. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer. So what's the differentiation in these two formulations? So Omer Kikar Zu Alai Marvin Loba. If you said Kikar Zu Alai. That means he's only forbidding himself in the food, and therefore he's not from another, therefore he's allowed to be ma'ari with it. Kikar zu hektesh, but he says this is usher to me, like it's hektesh. Right, something that is that something that's considered to be hektesh and dedicated to God. There's an isser of me'ila for you treat as if it's something that's got an isser of me'ila, that somebody would benefit from it. That they will be over on an Isser Doraita, and it's for any purpose. You can't use Hekdesh for anything else. So they're using it's Usser to me like Hekdesh, and that's why it's completely forbidden. So Ema Arvin Loba, Lafisha Ema Arvin Loba Hekdesha. And why can't he, and why doesn't it work? Because you can't make a Eruv with Hekdesh. So we're trying to see if that would imply that Rabbi Eliezer isn't making a difference between zoo and a lie. He's making a difference between zoo a lie and hektesh. So you're right. So then the more answers, tre tanai, baliba to Rabbi Eliezer. Right. So there are two tips. So there's both of the tanai and both of the statements holding Rabbi Eliezer. In regards to let's say the statement, the question is, Whether or not they the other tenet I'm arguing with Inderblader's opinion, do they differentiate between Zu or Alai? Rabbi Eliezer himself does not, but the Tanaim are quoting him, one of them does, one of them does not. Okay. Now the next two dots. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. Ma'arvin Lanazir B'yayin, Yisrael Truma. So that we can make an Erov for a Nazir with wine, or for a Yisrael with Truma, even though neither of them can eat it. And also we get to the part about the putting the later on in the Mishnah about putting the food in the graveyard to make it inaccessible for the, even though the Kohen can't necessarily access it. So Matnitin de Loka Beit Shammai. So this part of the Mishnah is not like Beit Shammai. Titania, as stated in the Braita, Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Ma'arvin LaNazir B'Yayin LiYisrael B'Truma. Because Beit Shammai says you can't make an Eruv for a Nazir with wine or for a Yisrael with Truma since they can't eat it. Beit Hillel Omrim Ma'arvin LaNazir B'Yayin LiYisrael B'Truma. Beit Hillel says you can make an Eruv for a Nazir with wine or a Yisrael with Truma. Amrulan Beit Hillel Beit Shammai Yetem Mojim Shemarvin LaGodol B'Yom Kippurim. So Beit Hillel has this, an excellent proof against Beit Shammai. What's the problem? They can't eat it. Don't you agree that you can make an Eruv on Yom Kippur? And the way to make an Eruv is with food. Yet nobody who's an adult is allowed to eat that food. So therefore, you should allow people to eat, to make an Eruv with food that they can't eat. Every Shabbos and Yom Tov too. So Amr Lahan, the Mishnah responds, Aval, but indeed that is so, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. So Amr Lahan, Kishem Shem Arvin Lagadol B'Yom Kippurim, Kem Arvin Nazir Uli Yisrael B'Truma. And then so Beit Hillel says, see, you agreed that you can make an Erev with food on Yom Kippur, though you can't eat it. Therefore, you should agree to us that you can make an Erev for Nazir with wine and for Yisrael with Truma, even though they're forbidden. So Beit Shammai responds, Beit Shammai hatam ika se'uda haru'uya mibod yom, haka leka se'uda haru'uya mibod yom. Beit Shammai says, no, that's not the case, because you could have eaten the food, even though you can't eat the Erev on Yom Kippur, you could have eaten it on Erev Yom Kippur. But the difference with Nazir and Yisrael for Truma is that they were not able to eat it prior to Yom Kippur. So what are you talking about? They can't eat it before or after. So you can't compare the case where it's only usher for part of it versus when it's always forbidden. So come on. So who must this be according to the Beit Shammai's answering that the So Deloka Chananya, it's not like Chananya. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braita, Chananya Omer, Kol Atzman Shel Beit Shammai Lo Hayu Modim Be'eruv Ad Sheyotzi Mitato Kol Klei Tashmishav L'Sham. So this must not. So even if we're referring to Beit Shammai's opinion, it's not like Chananya, because what does Chananya say? He says that in order for Beit Shammai, in order for a person to make an Erev Skumin, you need to actually remove your whole bed and all of your utensils and items and move them to the place you're making your Erev. It's a little bit of background on that. So why would you be doing all that for an Erev Skumin? So an Erev Tchum is what you do in order to extend the area that you're allowed to walk on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So in order to do so, you would do it by setting aside food, and then setting that up as your new home for Shabbos. So by bringing the food there before Shabbos, therefore that now it is now your house. Alternatively, you couldn't walk there and stay there until Shabbos sets in, and then where you're standing would then also be considered to be your home for Shabbos. So in terms of the former option, the option of making your area with food, so Beis Shammai thinks it's insufficient to simply put down some, like as we're talking about until now, putting down some food at, like equivalent to two meals or varying quantities depending on what food is, and putting that down and then saying that that is my area is from that location for Shabbos or Yom Tov, and saying that's where my border for my Tchum starts. So Hananya says that according to Beis Shammai, it's not enough to simply put the food there. You actually need to actually bring your bed and all of the other things you plan on using for Shabbos or Yom Tov over to that place in order to make it truly being your location for Shabbos and Yom Tov, because he doesn't think putting a meal there is sufficient. So, right, so that's not what the Beis Shammai is saying here, because Beis Shammai here is talking about just food. So clearly, we're not, our brides and our mission are not following Kananya's version of Beis Shammai. So, come on, Asla. So then who was the ruling, then who is it does it following? The Tanya, as we've learned in Raita, Irev Bishkorim lo yetse bilavanim, bilavanim lo yetse bishkorim. So if one establishes an Erev while wearing their black clothing, meaning their Riktei clothes, lo yetse bilavanim, then he can't then go out wearing his nice white yontif clothes. Bilavanim lo yetse bishkorim. And if you made the Erev with your yontif clothes, you then can't wear your weekday clothes, your black clothes. Come on. So then who's that bright to like? That says it, like, why would you not be able to switch clothing? Like, you're wearing it. I don't understand why there's a difference. Like, normally we say that for both purposes, if you're wearing it, you're wearing it. And what does it matter what it is? So who could say that that's us, sir? Come on. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Chananyi, believe it to Beit Shammai. Rather, it's Chananya's version of in the Koran, Beit Shammai. And that's why you can't go out. So as far as to why that is, so Chananya bishkorim hudlo yitzei hablavanim yitzei. So Chananya says you can go out, you can't leave with your black clothing, but you can go with your white clothing. So what do you mean by that? Ha'amar ashiotzi mitato chlei tashmish olasham. Didn't he say you need to bring all of your clothing over to there? In which case, what are we talking about? What are we talking about then? So Kamar, this is how we should state it instead. Irev Bilavanim, who's Rakhlashkor? If you made an arrow wearing white clothing, you need to change it to black clothing. Ah, Bilavanim lo yetzei. Then even with the white clothing, you can't leave. Kaman, Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Chananya hi, v'liba to Beit Shammai. So Rakhman Bar Yitzchak says this is Chananya, and according to Beit Shammai. So basically, why can't you go out with these other clothes? Because basically, you have to have all of your food ready at that location where you're making your Erev Tchum. You need to have all of your bed, you have to have all of your belongings, whatever you're planning on using for Yom Tov need to be there, or for Shabbos need to be there already. You can't simply bring it you can't change your mind in the middle. And if you did change your mind and you went, and then what happens is that because you have improper da and you didn't fully have in mind everything that's in that location, in fact, you can't leave your house, the second location where you placed your Erev Tchum at all. In fact, you're stuck there because you can't change your clothing, and then you just can't leave that location. So that's Chananya according to Beit Shammai, which we thankfully do not postulate. Because that would be very difficult. You had
to, so this last case is the most machmir of them all, right?
Yes.
Okay.
To make that as your Erev Tchum, you need to have set up in advance exactly what you're taking with no hesitations. And if you decided to change your mind in the middle, then it would ruin your Erev. It would be really very, very inconvenient. So thank God we don't pop in that way, because that would be really difficult. So Simchos Omer Mechulin. So now we're back to the Mishnah again. So Simcha says you can only make an Erev if you use chulin, which chulin is unconsecrated food. So it's food that everybody can eat, no matter who you are. So v'ilu l'nazir b'yayin lo palig. So but he only states something about the fact that you have to make sure to eat with kool-aid. He doesn't mention anything about how you shouldn't be mi'amar with wine. So that implies that he's not arguing about the nether case. So my time, why isn't he arguing? Why doesn't he argue with the nether case? Efshar dimenshal on a zero day, because he could always ask either a chacham or, you know, or a beitin to annul his nazirut. So as we will all hopefully be doing at some point leading up to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur when we do our Tarnit Nedarim. So you can do that for swears. It also works for the nazir as well to annul his nazirut. So ihachi truma nami asher mitchal alai. So what do you mean? If we're talking about asking the chachamim, can't you also ask the chacham about truma and then allow it to not become truma again? So when you're separating truma and masro, so things start out being so produce harvested in the land of Israel. Once it's harvested and brought inside, it is then called tevel, and it is now chayim in trumos and masros. And if you were to eat it now, you'd be it's aser d'oraisa, and with aser karet, don't eat it. So, and then you take your truma to masro, and your truma to the kohen, maser to the levi, and then either maser sheni or maser ani as well, and then after, which right depending on the years. For more on that, we'll hopefully get to it tomorrow. So depending on what year it is which whether it's Master Ani or Master Shani. Let's say if I made a mistake when I was being comforting my Truman, I didn't mean to do those fruits. I meant the other bushel, not that, but like is it a rather ton of fruit. I accidentally pointed out the wrong bushel and now I did SSM. The chacham saying like I made a mistake. I didn't mean that one. Is that okay? So can I do that? And wouldn't that also mean that it's no longer considered to be truma? So the answer is that E. Mitchell, even if you would ask a chacham about it, hadra l'tivla, it returns to being tevel, which is again it's a different isser than truma, right? Truma is the most chamor punishment, but it's still usser. You still can't eat food before you separate truma and masor from. So it doesn't really get you. So it's in like. Yes, it makes it less usher, but it's usher is still usher. So v'lifrosh alei b'makom acher. So let him separate truma from somewhere else, and therefore it'll be allowed. But this particular food will then be permitted. Lo nafshu chaver mitrom shlom and amukav. So no, that's not the case because chaverim, which were people who were very stringent in regards to trumot and masrot, and as well as truma v'tara in general. So these people would never allow the produce to not be tithed for any significant amount of time. They'd make sure to do it immediately as soon as it became required to. So therefore, there was never really this scenario where you'd be where you'd be changing your mind between the various parts of your of the produce that should be considered to be truma or not. So relief rosh Allah aminei uvei. So why not him separate truma from the produce that just to cover the part that you want to use for the eruv? So rather, what's the issue then? So can you just switch over only part of it then? The late bashiora. Now the issue is that the amount of the total amount of produce that you have available is the exact amount would not be enough. Basically, the exact amount that you need for, or a little bit more that you need for the eruv. And if you were to take off the truma from the out of the segment, that would mean that we have that you have less than the amount that you can make an eruv with. Therefore, you'd run into an issue. So that's why you can't. That's why you couldn't. Let's say if it is tevel, you couldn't simply take truma now and then make it okay. You wouldn't have enough left. So my pasca. So is it really talking about such a very limited case? So ela sumchos savar la karbanon. Rather, we're going to say the sumchos holds the karbanon. Der Amri is Rabbanan say, Kol davar shehu mishum shavut, gazru alav banish rasha. So rather, some of this holds according to the Rabbanan, that anything that is asked from the Rabbanan is aser from banish rasha. So, and that's, so why is that, why is that relevant? If it's something only asked from the Rabbanan, that it still applies even during twilight. It's like, why is that relevant to us? Because Erevin, we say, goes into effect during Banish Shmasho. It has to be permitted during, the food has to be allowed during Banish Shmasho in order for you to make an Erev with it. And you're not allowed to separate out Trumot and Masro during Banish Shmasho. So therefore, even though potentially in this time period you could have solved the solution, let's say it had been tevel, or if it had been truma and you had to shayla and then return to tevel and you want to redo the truma again, so correct, you need a right to do that during Banish Shmasho. But midrabanan, you're not allowed to take truma and masro during Banish Shmasho, and since it's usher midrabanan, then you still can't. It would still be ineffective. Okay, clear? There's a lot of...
Yeah, so a quick question. So basically, we're trying to prove that Sumchus would say that you can still use Truma, and we're trying to say that you could still use Truma, but how can you, if an Israel is not allowed to use it, then how can you still use it? That's what we're trying to find, a case where even Sunquist would say it's okay. I'm just trying to grapple with what we're trying to do.
Yes, we're trying to see to what extent Sunquist argues with the Tanakhama. Correct.
So we're not there yet. We still have to find a solution for Sunquist.
Correct.
Okay.
So Kaman Azla, how does it follow? As it states in the Mishnah, Yesh Shamru Hakol Fi Ma Shehu Adam. That whatever you use for error is according to the person. Malo mukso mincha. Sorry, that all measurements are relative. That malo kumso mincha, malo chof nav ketore, lashot umav lugmav yom kippurim, mazon shtei sudot leiruv. So these are halachot that are all relative to the person. The handful of flour that a kohen would scoop out from a korban mincha, right? That's when you do this. Motion out of grabbing the flour. Also the handful of incense that the Kohen Gadol would offer Yom Kippur. So it would be based on the Kohen Gadol's hands. It doesn't have a shear outside of that. For Mol Lugmav on Yom Kippur, for you to be Chai Midoraita, it's based on the person's ritual cheek. So that's why so if somebody has to do Shiurim for whatever reason on Yom Kippur, they measure based on their own mouths, not based on what normally is considered to be a revius. And with regards to the meals, the two meals of nourishment that are needed for an Erev. So, right. So those are all things that are relative to the person. Come on, who does this follow? Amar b'zera sumchosid amar ma'idachazi lebi'inan. This is Sunkos who says that the food that's being ma'aret that you make the air with has to be fit for each person to be able to eat. That's why he says it has to be with Sulin, and presumably he's arguing with everything, for all other cases also, has to be with the person to eat. So Lema, Liga on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So let's say that Sunkos argues with Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Ma'arvin, Lechola, Lazakin, Kedem, Zono, Ulur, Latan, Vesuda, Benoni, Shel, Kol, Adam. That means that Sunkos also argues with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, as we've stated in another brayta, that you when you make an error for a sick person or an old person, you do it relative to how much they can eat. But for somebody who's very hungry, you know, our gluttonous teenager, then you will give him an average meal, which means that it's not fully scaling; it's only scaling for some, which means that that's against Sunkos. Sorry, Toguma Achula Vazakin. So maybe when the Mishnah is saying that it's relative, they're talking about a chol and a zaken alone. Alo ravatan bat ladad v'zakol adam. Right. So then, sick people and old people, those are normal and those exist. But a gluttonous person is considered to be irrelevant. What he considers to be normal isn't relevant for our discussion at all. And that's how they solve it, and that's how it's not necessarily arguing Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Sophos, they could be in agreement. So now we finished the discussion of Sophos' opinion, and he appears to be very much on the it all being relative front.
Is Sophos, does he hold like Beit Shammai?
No. He doesn't hold like Beit Shammai in terms of the as like the Hananya, they have to move the whole house thing, but he does hold it has to be fit for every person to eat. Ah.
Okay, so you hear part of it. Okay, got it.
Yeah, part of it. To Lakoya Beta Pras. And if you're being and if you are okay, Kohen, for Kohen, can you put the food in a field that is Suffolk Tame because it had the field had a grave in it and then the grave is then plowed over it. We don't know where in the field it is anymore. So the Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Menapech Adam Beta Pras Aholech. Yehuda says the name of Shmuel that you can blow over the ground of the of a Beit HaPras, of a field that's been plowed over that may have had a grave, and then as long as you blow, because odds are if you blow and on the first layer of dirt you don't see any bones, then that means that this part is not where the grave is. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami Mishmei Rabbi Yehuda Amar Beit HaPras Shnidash Tahor. Or it could be according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if you that it's been a process that has been walked on so much that it has passed, it's treated as if it's tahor. And therefore, even a Kohen may walk through this field. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Beit HaKfar. Rabbi Yehuda says even a Beit HaKfar, that if there's a fixed path of Beit HaKfar, a Kohen can walk through it because it can be assumed that there are no graves on the said path. Tana Mipnei Sheyafo Lachut V'Leleich V'Shidat Tevav Megdal. So this is so why is this allowed? So we're here to say the mission that you're allowed to even put place it in a graveyard. Why is that allowed? Because he can technically get through there if the Kohen is placed in a carriage, crate, or a cupboard. Basically, if he's carried through a separate shes that's moving, he's not makabel chuma. And Kasavar Ol Zarek Shnei Oel, and also he holds that a moving tent is considered to be a tent, and that's why it'd be okay. So that relates to Tumah V'Tahara and issues. And if you've ever seen a Kohen wearing some sort of bag on a plane to avoid the Tumah, that's why it's a similar concept. That even though you're a mobile tent, that's still enough to exclude you from being able to contract tuma from a dead body. For more on that discussion, please look up Rabbi Danny Wolf's article on impurity on planes, which will give a lot more background and explanation as to why that is. So Plukta Dehani Tanai. So the argument whether or not you can even use this floating thing is actually subject to a machloket tanaim. The Tanya, the hanichnas la'eretz amim b'shida tevel migdal, Rabbi Mitame, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Tyre. So if a kohen needed to go to Chutz La'aretz for some reason, but he didn't want to become tamei along the way, if you went there he was inside of the carriage, crate, or cupboard, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says he's Tameh Bar Yossi, and then Rabbi Yehuda says that he would be Tahor. That would be a valid workaround. So my Kimiflagi, so what are they arguing about? Mar Savar Ohel Zaruk La Shmei Ohel. Mar Savar Ohel Zaruk Shmei Ohel. So they're arguing about is whether or not an Ohel that moves is considered to be a Ohel or not. Is a moving tent actually a tent, or is it a joke? Please say that it is one. Okay, so now just to quickly sum up what we covered today.
Quick question, just on this last point. So oil zaruk, so first thing, an oil that's moving is considered an oil, then he would be allowed to use it because it would stop the tumah, but if it isn't, then we say that's what they're arguing about?
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to understand that.
Right.
Okay, thanks. Okay, thanks.
Very good. So we're talking about what you can make an Eruv with and whether or not all the items have to be allowed for everybody to eat in order for that to work. So we started talking about a little bit about the language of your of your nether or your shua of whether or not it's whether you offering in hana or also in or just which would be a problem for Arab, or if you're just offering in terms of the food. And then we discussed the question of when you make your Arab of your Arab tulumin, how much of your house does it need to be? Where Hananya says that it's literally you have to literally bring your whole house there. Post everybody else says just putting the food there is sufficient. And we had also spoke about the question of in terms of the individual being able to access it. To what extent does it need to be able to access? Does it mean that it has to be accessed now? Does it mean potential access, or does it simply mean that that even if it's usher for you to eat, but the fact that some people on the air can eat, even if you particularly can't, that should still be sufficient. And then we got into the question of more details of terms of the Tumah V'Tahara aspects that come up as a result of that. And hopefully we will be continuing more with the question of Tumah V'Tahara and tomorrow, and see how that works out in regards to Aaron as well.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Have a good day, everybody.
You too. Be well. You're being looked after okay?